of the people that you have talked to in your life, Richard C. Hoagland aside, which ones have just fascinated you the most?
Well, my relationship with Colonel Philip Corso was the most powerful and most convincing interview of all.
And we should say the late Philip Corso
yes,
now. Yeah.
Yes, with the late Colonel Corso, you know, the Colonel, I used to call him.
Yeah.
And I was the journalist responsible for bringing him to Italy twice. He came to Italy twice. He came with his grandchildren and his daughter-in-law.
Now, was this, Paula, after his book, The Day After Roswell, was published?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I found myself, it's very curious, I found myself in the room next to Colonel Corso at the Sally Port Inn in Roswell. I mean, there was no room at all in Roswell, and I had gone to the press box and asked if I could stay there because I had to do the story for my editor in Italy for the magazine Notiziario UFO.
Wait a minute. What was the name of it?
Notiziario UFO.
Okay.
We had two magazines, Notiziario UFO, which is news of UFO, and then Dossier Alieni, which is Dossier Alien.
Okay.
And we had these two magazines, and my editor had sent me to cover Roswell, the 50th anniversary, because that was major. And there was no place to stay, and I just happened to have, you know, the one room that was free for the nights I needed, and it happened to be next to Colonel Philip Corso. And in fact, in my book, I talk about the being in a crowd and a blonde-haired gentleman saying, "Well, are you from Italy?" Because I had the press, the press badge from Italy, and it was his son. And his son said to me, "Ask him questions in Italian." And I said, okay, but will he answer me? And he knew Italian perfectly. He was the head of intelligence from 1944 to 1947.
He sure was.
Yeah, this is a man who has credentials that are incredible. So I asked him a question about the Santilli footage. I don't know if you remember the
alien autopsy. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And
absolutely.
I said to him what he, I asked him in Italian what he thought of it, and he said that he, if it was not a true film, it was a very good copy, he said, mainly because the black covering on the entity's eye, the EB, the extraterrestrial biological entity, was something that he had in his in the tray of artifacts from Roswell. He said that eye they used to play around with by holding it up in the dark, and they used to run around the offices and can see furniture in the dark. He said that was a light collector. Now, that never occurred to me, but when he said because he saw in that autopsy footage that the eye was, that piece was peeled off.
I remember that.
Yeah, he said that made me think that film was quite true. So, I mean, then afterwards I went up to him and he said to me, "I need to speak to you," and we forged a relationship where I was able to bring him to Italy to speak, and actually he talked quite a bit in Italy. We had a big conference. We had some really powerful people there, people that were good researchers. We had Robert Dean, Sergeant Major Robert Dean. We had Carlos Diaz, the contactee. We had Desmond Leslie of the Adamski, Adamski was one of the first contactees. We had a lot of really, really important people. Wendell Stevens, the researcher, and Colonel Corso, and he was able to talk to these people, share ideas with these people, and talk to the Italian people about what he had seen.
Well, when you have that person who was so high up in United States military to come forward and say that, you know, he provided technology that he needed U.S. corporations to reverse engineer, and that he spread it around, and to talk about some of the things that he said, literally a dying man's discussion. Because he didn't live too much longer, I think, after his book came out, just a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was absolutely incredible to hear that story coming from a man up so high in government. I wonder, I'd love to have been in a room, maybe even in the Pentagon, where military officials were talking about Corso and his book The Day After Roswell when that came out, because they probably went, "Oh my gosh, somebody's finally gone public like this in a big way."
Right. I think what he had told me was that he had made a pact that the last person was going to talk, because he waited for General Trudeau to die.
Mm-hmm.
They had all said, okay, the last person that's here will speak. And he used to say to me, you know, they can handle it, Paula. It's not a problem. He said, I'm sure. He said the people can handle it. And Corso is also valuable as a witness in that he saw an alien body at Fort Riley, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
in 1947. That's part of his book, apart from the back engineering, which everybody looks at. He was, you know, he had that experience, which he, you know, he talked about in Italy. He talked about the autopsy he had seen. You know, he had asked for the autopsy file. So this is a man who's the head of intelligence. I mean, this is a man who did the Korean War. He did the Second World War. He did the Battle of Monte Cassino, which is pretty, you know, heavy during the Second World War.
Oh, he was involved in almost everything, intelligence, you name it.
Yeah, well, see, we took him seriously. This is, I want to talk a little bit about the difference in the European view of research and in the American view of research, too, because we in Europe take this all quite seriously, because there's all these people, these scientists, and these also the military, because they're the ones that provide us with some of the slides, interested in searching for the truth, where I find a lot in the States that there's ridicule factor here that really inhibits the truth from coming out.
Well, and I think, Paula, that ridicule, though, is done by design. I think that there is a clandestine operation going on of experts who are doing exactly what you say, but they don't publicize it. They don't want us in this country to know about it. And they just keep things out there like this is not happening, that this stuff is fiction.